that we give. George Washington created it and began giving it back in his time when the militia ran out of money and was not able to pay their soldiers. He gave the Purple Heart to those that had been wounded and shed blood in warfare, and for those also to the families who had lost people in warfare. That's going to be our background, the Purple Heart. We're honoring those who have so fought for our country to the point that they gave it all, that they actually died for the United States of America. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that there were people that were willing to pay it all? We want to honor our veterans that are with us today. I know some of them are out of town, but if you're a veteran and you've served in the armies or the Marines or the forces of America, would you stand and let us just thank you and honor you? Would you stand up and let us just applaud you? Yes. Thank you. You can be seated. I know that Doug's also, and he's not here today, but you know, we can never stop remembering the great sacrifice that those have given for our country, for you and I, that we can be here today, that we can be doing exactly what we're doing today. Now, in my message, I really want to remember the casualties and those wounded in another war, the war with darkness. I want to talk about them. I want to talk about those that have been hit by the enemy, those that have been wounded by the enemy, and I want to discuss that for the next few minutes. So here's my title for today: Personal Pearl Harbors. Now I'm not talking about people who are martyrs, who gave their lives for the cause of Christ, who became the Christian martyrs. That's not who I'm talking about, and that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm wanting to help us understand is, I'm talking about today people like you and I, people that have been hit by the enemy, people that have had bombs dropped on your life, people that have had attacks in all forms and ways that the enemy has found to hit you. And I want to go ahead and make a statement, because I really want you to hear it. The enemy has a Pearl Harbor planned for you. And if we don't believe that, if we are too dumb or too naive to really believe that, then you know, we're going to be blown away just like we were in Pearl Harbor. Now, some of you know people who at one time were strong in the Lord. They were in the power of His might. I mean, they could cast out devils. You know, they talked in tongues. They were mighty in the things of God. But somehow, they got popped. Somehow, they had a Pearl Harbor. Some of you know the lost people, and I don't want to limit it only to those that are serving Christ and those that got knocked out as being a Christian. I'm talking about also anybody, because the devil is no respecter of persons. He will get anyone. He deceives the whole world. And so I want us to realize that we probably are very close to someone that the enemy has hit, be it a saved person, a follower of Christ, or be it someone who has never come to Jesus and is far from God. But you know somebody. Now, another point that we've got to make is, maybe that somebody is you. Maybe you've been hit. Maybe you have at one time been wounded and recovered. Or maybe you're still wounded. Maybe right now you're close to being a casualty in Christ. Right now you're going through a personal Pearl Harbor. And so I want to talk about this today. See, so much of my life, so much of what I do is dealing with people having personal Pearl Harbors. Every day, I look around and I see people being bombed, being blasted. And if you're privy to the feelings and emotions of people, You're also experiencing that, and you're seeing it too. So let's talk about those things today. And I want to look at a scripture because I want us to see that the devil has a Pearl Harbor plan for all of us. And I want to look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. But I want you to turn in your Bibles, and you can take the notes on the others. Just turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'll be there in just a few minutes. And jot these other scriptures down because it's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 that I really want to emphasize. So you go ahead and turn there, and you can just maybe jot some of these other things down if you'd like. But in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, the Bible says there, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Fought against who? The dragon and his angels. And then in verse 9 it says, and the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil, Satan. Just notice that Lucifer's not there. What's he called? The devil and Satan, the serpent. He was cast out. And now where was he cast to? To the world, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now I want you to know that what this particular scripture is trying to relate to us is that this is now personal. The devil is right here with you and me. The devil is close. Now, the problem that I see is that we don't take him serious. Of course, people in the world don't. They wouldn't, would they? I mean, they have no real reason to. They don't even believe in God or believe there is a devil. But what about believers? What about Christ followers? Do you take it serious? Do we take it as serious as we should? You see, on Sunday, December the 7th, 1941, Japan successfully bombed Pearl Harbor. The battle wasn't a battle. The wipeout lasted 2 hours. In its wake, it was 2,403 dead Americans. In its wake was 188 fighter planes. In its wake was 8 either destroyed ships battleships laying at the bottom of the Pacific or severely damaged. Why? Could it have been avoided? What I wanted us to see in that clip was this thought. They had intercepted telephone conversations. They knew as early as October that it was going to happen. Or that something was happening, that Japan was up to something. They had intercepted telegraph messages. They had intelligence working. They even saw them coming on the radar in time to get the planes off the ground into the air and greatly deter the attack. Why didn't it happen? Why didn't they stop that? They didn't take it serious. They didn't listen. No, here's what I want us to say. You know, the believer doesn't listen. We've got all the intelligence going on. We've got all the weaponry going on. We've got all the interceptions of what the enemy is intending to do. And we don't listen. We don't take this serious. And then all of a sudden, you look around at your life, and as somebody told me not long ago, I went to bed one night, woke up the next day and said, how did I find myself in this world? Just that fast. Listen, just that fast. Because somehow, some way, we didn't take him serious. We know he's real. And we know he'll get somebody else. But surely he won't bomb me, will he? He won't bomb Pearl Harbor. That's too far. That's too much trouble. You look around and all your resources are gone. All your friends are blown away. People far from God don't have a chance. They don't even have any weaponry to fight God, fight the enemy. But we believers, we've got it all. Yeah. We've got the radar going on, right? We got discernment, don't you? You should be able to discern things. We've got the word of the Lord. We've got prophecies. We've got gifts of the Spirit. We've got intelligence. We know he's coming. We don't take it serious. We look at our lives and all of a sudden we're devastated. We're devoured. Let me show you this weaponry thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Let's look at this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Do you and I have the power to demolish, not only to demolish the devil? We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Listen, Pearl Harbor, 1941, on that Sunday should not have happened. Listen, your personal Pearl Harbor should not happen. Now, I'm not saying you won't get wounded. We're in a war. You're going to get wounded. You're going to get hurt. If you're out there fighting, it's going to happen. But you shouldn't have to get blown away. You shouldn't be devoured. The Bible gives us so much information and warning about this. We've got all the weaponry. We've got the battleships. We've got the intelligence. We've got everything we need to win. But yet I look around and I see Pearl Harbors everywhere. I see Christian casualties everywhere. I see people not only that are far from God devoured, but I see believers like you and I devoured. It shouldn't happen, folks. We don't take our weapon, we don't take our warfare serious. Now, I look around and I see the devastation that the devil can do to a life, to devour a family, you know, just cause all sorts of havoc. And then I look around and I see people that seldom seem to get hit like that. They're in the warfare, they're active, they're going along with God, and I look at their lives and I look at their families, and it just seems like they just keep trucking along. You see them from time to time go through a fight and a skirmish and a battle, but they come out and they never stop hitting it and stop going. What's the difference? What is the difference? Why do I look around sometimes and I see these people blowed up, and then I look at other people and I never see them blowed up? What would be the difference? That's a question. Does anybody have a suggestion? Sure. One's taking it serious. And one is saying, it's not going to happen to me. One really believes this stuff. And one's just floating around on Sunday in our little harbor here. And he has a torpedo with your name on it. I want you to know it doesn't have to happen. I want you to know that if it does happen, we should be able to resurrect him. And this is sort of where I'm going. Because we all know people who've been torpedoed. We all know people who have been bombed. We all know people who have had personal Pearl Harbors. But folks, it just shouldn't happen. Now, the Bible gives us a lot of information. Right there in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, look at that. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Peter says here, "Be self-controlled and alert." Be alert. Why? Why should you be alert? Because your enemy. Whose enemy? Your enemy. I don't care if you're a believer or you're not a believer. That's anybody's enemy. This is the enemy who comes to deceive the whole world. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around. Like a what? Roaring lion. And I'm going to touch that in just a little while. Like a roaring lion looking, seeking for someone to do what? To devour. He has a plan. A personal Pearl Harbor. To devour you. He hates you. Now, ever watch someone get blasted? Ever watched a believer or a non-believer get hit? Watch them go down in the fight? It's horrible. You ever watch a non-believer? You ever watch someone far from God go down? Sure. I have, and I know you have. But what hurts me, what really upsets me, is that we Christ followers, most times, have this attitude. I told you so. I told you so. I told you not to do that. I told you so. Well, it doesn't matter now that you told them so. What matters now is they're bleeding. What matters now is they're going to die if we don't stop the bleeding. What matters now is that we need to somehow stop with this attitude of I told you so. And come back with the attitude of let me help you. Let me get your wounds wrapped and treated and medicated. And let me help you get back on back your strength. Let me help you. What it should do for us when we see people go through stuff, what it should do for us is we look around and see our friends. We see, you know, it should make us cry. It should make us do what Jesus said to do. Go into all the world and make disciples. There are people out there that don't have any weapons. There are people out there that don't have a clue. And they are being devoured every day. Jesus said, go get those people. And then when you get them, teach them to be overcomers. Teach them that they don't have to have Pearl Harbors. Teach them the weapons of their warfare. Teach them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Teach them how to become an overcomer. That's what it should do for us. But rather, we call them backsliders and hypocrites. And we are the only army in the whole world that kills, goes ahead and just kills its wounded. Well, Pearl Harbor should not happen. Do you agree with me? Should the natural Pearl Harbor have happened? Should a personal Pearl Harbor happen? No, no. It doesn't have to happen. That's what I want us to see. Because we've got to start taking this serious. The enemy comes into our lives and steals resources that are intended for the kingdom of God.
Right.
He sinks our battleships. We've got to build new ones.
Right.
He destroys our warplanes. We've got to build new ones. He comes into our life. He takes our resources. He takes our money. He takes our children.
Yeah.
And it's time, folks, we start taking this warfare thing serious. Another attitude we have. Not only do we kill our own wounded and talk about them, but another attitude we have is it won't happen to me. Nobody here really thinks that you're going to get bombed. But I promise you, by this time next year, I will have had to personally pray for many of you. I won't say each one of you, but personally pray for each one of you because of a bomb that's hit you. But it ain't going to happen to me. You know, here's some attitudes that we come with. I'm too spiritual. I'm too smart. I'm too smart for the devil. Let me tell you something. He's been around a whole lot longer than you've been around. He's got a whole lot better army than you have. And without God helping you and you're standing strong in His power and in His might, He's going to devour you. I'm too wealthy. I'm too rich. I'll buy my way out or pay my way out. Yeah, sure you will. And these are just some things that we reason ourselves out of really protecting ourselves and our family from a personal Pearl Harbor. What does the Bible say? Does the Bible say you're too spiritual? Does the Bible say you're too smart? Does the Bible say you're too wealthy? What does the Bible say? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Don't have to look at it. It'll be on the screen for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition unto whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed what? Lest he fall. Now let me tell you the context here. The context here is Paul has been discussing the nation of Israel as it was delivered from Egypt. And he talks about how they were, God took the blood and he put it on the houses, right? Remember the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb. And that's pretty important, people, don't you think? That's pretty spiritual. You know, you're in the salvation thing. And he led them by the cloud, which is, he says, they're the Spirit. And he baptized them through the water. He took them through the water. The Red Sea opened and through the water they came. They were led around by this cloud. They were fed manna from heaven and water from a rock. These were important people to God. These were spiritual people. These were very wealthy people. Remember all the riches they took out of Egypt when they come out? I mean, right there with the cloud. But Paul ends that little discourse there by talking about how their carcasses fell in the wilderness because they did not take this thing serious. Beware, he says. And if it happened to them, let it be an example for us. Beware when you think you're too smart, or you think you're too spiritual, or you think you're too important. Beware. The enemy has a Pearl Harbor on the drawing pads for each of us, but it doesn't have to happen. Look again, Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Look at another thought here with me. Be self-controlled. Be alert. Your enemy, the devil. Whose enemy? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Say, like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Okay? Now, Peter says, your enemy. Now, how many of you would admit, be honest enough, not spiritual enough, honest enough, to admit that you have at least been hurt since you became a believer and a follower, a Christ follower? How many would admit, I've been hurt? Yeah, I've been hurt. Okay, put your hands down. Now, how many of you would be honest to say, I've gotten wounded? Just about the whole amount of hand. Good. Have you ever heard the teaching on, yeah, he's like a roaring lion and he goes around roaring, but he's just a toothless bully? Have you ever heard that? Well, you are a witness that that's not true. You said that he's hurt you, that somehow you got wounded. Somewhere along this journey that you're on with Jesus, he got through your armor. Some of you may be wounded today. Some of you may be casualties today. You're just here, breathing. But actually, in the things of the Spirit, you're dead. I remember a time, years ago. This is a long time ago, okay? I know I'm your preacher and your pastor, and I'm supposed to be this perfect guy, but I want you to know I'm not. In case anybody was thinking that. I don't think anyone was, but years and years ago, I got popped. I mean, I took a Pearl Harbor. I was devastated in the things of the Spirit. I was a deacon in the church I served. I was the adult Sunday school class teacher. People saw me going downhill. They saw me getting weak. They'd come to me and they would notice it and they would say, Delbert, is he okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm a deacon. I'm the adult Sunday school class teacher. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just going to take a little sabbatical. And the truth of the matter is I was bleeding to death. Wouldn't it be stupid for a soldier in the army that got shot? He's bleeding. People see he's bleeding. I'm okay. I'm just going to sit down here and rest a minute. But that's what we do in the church. And do you know why we do it? Pride. We're spiritual. It means we've done something wrong. It means that we took an armor off or a helmet off or we laid our sword down. It means we did something wrong and the enemy popped us. No, you know, let me tell you what it means. It just means you've been out there fighting. It means you've been in a war. It means you've been doing something for Jesus. See, I was a wounded soldier. And it bothers me so badly today when I hear someone that I know is wounded say, I'm okay. I'm just going to take a sabbatical. I know I have a wounded soldier on my hands. And if I don't do something for them, I'm going to have a casualty. And I want you to hear that. Because I'm smart enough and I've been there. And so have you. You know when somebody's hurting. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. And I'm going to look at those things in just a few seconds. Some warning signs. Some signs that somebody's been hit. But Pearl Harbors should not happen. It just shouldn't happen. Warfare should. Getting wounded is one thing. But getting blown up, man, that just shouldn't happen. Okay. So why do casualties happen? Why are there casualties in Christ? Now, two reasons. You might want to just jot these two things down. First of all, we won't admit it. We won't admit that we're being blasted. We're too spiritual. We're too smart. We're too wealthy. We're too rich. You know, we know too much. We're too important. I've already showed you that won't work. That's not true. Another reason is we turn our backs on our own wounded. We just go ahead and shoot them. Hypocrites. Backsliders. Any other derogatory word that we can come up with. They've fallen away from God. Which one are you? Not of those two, but are you one that constantly gets blasted? You're having Pearl Harbor after Pearl Harbor after Pearl Harbor. Or are you one who goes through the war, may get wounded, but you're smart enough to know you're hit. You get some help, and you recover, and you go on to fight another day. You're one or the other. I believe here at LifeGate, we've got people. They are prideful, and they won't tell you when they're wounded. But somehow, along the way, they will get help. And they do live to fight another day. I'm looking at a lot of people that have been wounded. But you're still here. And you're still fighting. That means you know something. Okay? Now, for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about three things. I want to talk about recognizing the wounded. I want to talk about, number two, healing the wounded. And then, number three, I want to talk about resurrecting the casualties. Okay? So let's talk about the first one first. Let's talk about recognizing the wounded. How do you recognize a wounded person? How do you recognize a wounded believer? How do you recognize a person in the world that's wounded? How do you recognize somebody that the devil is bombing? How do you recognize this person? How do you recognize somebody that's gotten hit, that's going down? How do you do this? Okay. Now, it's easy in the natural. If an individual that you're fighting with in the army, in the natural army, gets hit, there's blood. And sometimes there's a missing member. Arm's gone, leg's gone, something like that, okay? I mean, it's not difficult to recognize a person who is wounded who has been hit in the natural. Well, it's really not difficult either in the dimensions of the spirit. In the natural, they're bleeding blood. In the spiritual, their spirit, they've been hit in the natural man or their physical man, correct? In the spiritual, they've been hit in the spirit. Or they've been hit in the soul. And they're bleeding spirit. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to lose your salvation. That's not what I'm talking about here. But you're drying up in the spirit. And your spirit's leaking out. Just if you just need a scripture for that. They got filled in the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. Then you read in Acts chapter 4, they got filled again with the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because they just got hit. They had just been beaten at the Sanhedrin. They needed healing. And it's okay. But get healing. It's all right to be wounded. It just means you've been fighting. But don't die on me. Don't die on Jesus. Also, you'll notice that important parts of their life are missing. they'll start missing the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. They'll start missing meetings. They'll start missing their time of prayer. They'll start missing the reading of the Word. They'll start missing praise and worship. They just won't do it, because that's now drying up in their lives, because their spirit is bleeding. So it's not that difficult to notice somebody. And so when we start missing someone, or when you start missing the assembling of ourselves together, I probably can assume that you've been hit. That somehow the enemy has gotten through to you. That somehow he's got a shot in, or he's got a lick in. Another thing that happens to us when this happens to us is if we don't get healed and our spirit drains out of us, we get so weak and an infection sets in. Bitterness, unforgiveness. You see a bitter person, you see an unforgiving person, you see a mean believer, you can believe, that Christ follower, has been hit. So that's how you recognize. Another thing it says, it can't happen to me. It can happen to you, can it? Remember Judas Iscariot? Remember who Judas Iscariot was? Who was Judas Iscariot? I got a smart church here. This is a given, right? The betrayer. Very good. But who was his pastor? Did he go down? Oh, well, it was supposed to be that way. Well, okay, what about, you remember the Bible talks about a guy named Demas? He was a follower. He followed Paul around. Paul was his pastor, the Apostle Paul. And then twice in the Scriptures, it talks about where Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me. He was with me. He was a fellow laborer. He was helping me build these churches. But now Demas hath forsaken me. It can happen to you. It happens every day. And what I'm trying to warn you and tell you about is it can happen to you. But I want you to know you don't have to die. You don't have to be a casualty in Christ. You don't have to experience a Pearl Harbor in your life. So let's talk about healing the wounded. Recognizing the wounded really is not that difficult once you understand how they bleed. They're bleeding in their spirit. They're bleeding in their soul. Their soul's not right. Their spirit's not right. They're drying up. They're bitter. So how do we heal the wounded? Let's look at healing the wounded just quickly. How do you recognize somebody? How do you heal some person? Can you heal yourself? Yeah, but it's according to the damage that's been done to you. Let's use the natural as an analogy. You're out there fighting and you get grazed by a bullet. You can heal that. Okay, you can peroxide and gauze that. You can put some medication on that. You can heal that. But if you get your leg blowed off, can you heal that? You see, the severity of the wound determines if you need to get help or not. How severe have you been hit? And again, folks, I want you to know here at LifeGate, if I sense you're wounded, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not calling you a hypocrite. And if I hear someone call you that, then they'll have a wound. Nobody's going to deal with you like that. I'm coming to you because I know you've been in a battle. And I know that you just got hit. And that if we can get it fast enough and stop it from getting infected, we can get you healed. And you can put your armor back on and you can get right back out there again. Okay, now, how do you heal them? The bleeding must stop. You got to get that bleeding stopped. That spirit's got to stop leaking. Somehow we've got to stop the spirit life from drying up, the spirit life from dying. Once stopped, the wound must be cleaned. Infection cannot be allowed to get into that wound. Now, what is infection? Bitterness, unforgiveness. If infection gets into your body, and you develop a fever, Do you know you can have brain damage? Do you know you can have serious retardation? Have you ever seen retarded Christians? Huh? Do you know what's happened to them? They have serious soul damage. They have, somewhere along the line, not properly walked in love and forgiveness. And now it's retarded them. A couple of summers ago, I was on vacation. We were in Panama City Beach, Florida, and Lance and I were going out fishing. And we pulled up beside the bait boat to purchase some live bait to go fishing with. And as the bait was being gotten out of the tank, out of his live well to sell to us, I was holding the two boats separate. A wave came along that I was not prepared for. And it slammed his boat into my boat. The only problem there is that my thumb was between those two boats. And the very end of my thumb was smashed. I looked at it, and the thumbnail was sticking up on the backside. The front was in, the back of the thumbnail was up. The end of my thumb was completely flat. Lance looked at that and said, "Well, let's go to the emergency room." And I said, "Oh, no, no." "What's the doctor going to do? He's just going to take the thumbnail off, right? It's going to come off anyhow. We're going fishing." Now, at that time, it was still numb. It was bleeding, but it was numb. So we got our bait. We took our fishing. I stuck it in ice. I wrapped it with gauze. It bled, and then it began throbbing. And all day long, it throbbed. Excruciating. I mean, my thumb was flat and bled all day. All the rest of that week, I doctored my own thumb. I got peroxide and poured peroxide on it, wrapped it with gauze. It kept bleeding, and it kept throbbing. Well, I had to come home that weekend, that Sunday, for church. It was my week to be here, and so I came home, and while I was here, I called Dr. Scoggins, and it's still hurting. Maybe I need to ask him, just let him know, see what he says. So he tells me, he says, "Delbert," he said, "you need to get that looked at." He said, "Yeah," he says, "the thumbnail needs to come off because it could get infected." But he says, "But if it smashed it like you said it smashed it," he says, "that means then that the bone is burst apart in there, and you got fragments of bone all in there, and that's going to get infected, and you're going to get gangrene in that thumb, and you're going to lose your thumb." Well, now, that put a little different light on it. I was in his office in a few minutes. I mean, x-rayed, sure enough, it was just shattered in there. Took the thumbnail off, gauzed it up. What I'm trying to share with you is when you get wounded, you might think you've got it fixed. You might think a little peroxide and gauze might take care of it, and it might. But you need to call somebody. And you need to let them talk to you about your wound. Because if it gets infected, it can really cause you some serious problems. How do you recognize them? Become bitter. They're bleeding. How do you heal them? You got to stop the bleeding, and you got to stop the infection. That infection, that unforgiveness, that bitterness has got to come out of there. You have got to help that person. You've got to, if you're wounded today, most likely it's friendly fire. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say friendly fire? Another Christian shot you. Now, didn't mean to. Wasn't their intention to shoot you. You know, we hear about friendly fire all the time in warfare. Their intention wasn't to blast you. Most times not. But it happened. And you have got to deal with that. And if you don't, gangrene's going to set up. Fever's going to happen. And you're going to retard. You're going to have some serious issues in your soul and in your spirit. Now, let's talk just a minute about resurrecting a casualty. Resurrecting a casualty in Christ. How do you do that? I mean, is that possible? Well, how many knows we serve a Lord of resurrection? I am. Come on. I am the resurrection and the life. And I don't think that just simply means when you die, you get resurrected. I think you can have that bad of an experience right now in this lifetime and get back into the things of the Spirit better than you've ever been. A wounded soldier has got to be prayed for. A casualty, somebody that you're considering dead in Jesus. I mean, you know, they're breathing. But as far as their walk with Christ and their life in Jesus, you know, they're dead. All their members are missing. They're not praying. They're not coming. They're not tithing. They're not giving. They're not praising. They're not doing anything. Anything that was important in their life at one time that they were so strong and powerful in, all of a sudden you look around and that part's missing. How do you raise this person? Only thing I know is prayer. Hear me. Do you remember Peter in the upper room? You know, Jesus has said, okay, Peter. You know, he tells all of them, you're gonna leave me. And he said, Peter said, not me, Lord. Not me, Lord. Not me. All the rest of them leave. Not me, buddy. I'm with you. Peter, three times before the cock crows. You're cutting out of here. Not me, Lord. No, not me. And then Jesus says, Peter, it's going to get so bad for you. You're going to fall so far because Satan's going to sift you like wheat. But I'm going to pray for you. And when you are resurrected again, when you get back into the things of God again, get back into your ministry and strengthen your brother. Let's look at that verse, okay? Let's look at Luke chapter 22. Here it is. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What's Jesus saying here? Peter, you're going to get shot. It's going to be so bad it's like sifting wheat. What Satan's going to put you through. Your Pearl Harbor is going to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you, buddy. And when it's all done, when it's run its course, and you get back into what you're supposed to be doing, you get back into your ministry, you strengthen your brothers. You help people again. Now, ask you a question. Was Peter more powerful before he was sifted? Before he was wounded? Or after he was wounded? I told you my horror story of years ago when I was wounded. I was shot. Listen, I was a casualty. I was a goner. I was a deacon. And I was a Sunday school teacher. But what am I now? It's because I serve the Lord of resurrection. And somebody prayed for me. You can believe this little gal sitting up here in this little black outfit was praying for her old husband. We were having problems. She and I was at war. We were fussing and fighting. I was having problems with my finances and problems at work. I mean, I was being bombed. I was a goner. My pastor was praying for me. He was with me. He loved me. He never condemned me, never called me a hypocrite, always used me, took care of me, loved me, helped me, healed me. You got to pray for him, but you got to love him. You got to reach out to him and keep using them. Listen, when somebody tells me they got to take a sabbatical, I'll do everything I can in my power to keep you doing here what you're doing. I'm not going to let you lay down and die. I'm going to try to find some way, I'm going to keep using you. I'm going to keep loving you. I'm going to pray for you. Because once I prayed, and once you've gotten through it, you'll strengthen the brothers. You'll be more powerful than you were to begin with. So how do you raise a casualty? Pray for them. Love them. Use them. Reach out to them. And they'll resurrect. It can happen. I want you to know this. In the scriptures, Peter, who is his pastor?
Jesus.
Have a good pastor? Did he have a good pastor? Okay. But did he get hit? Was he too smart? Was he too spiritual? Was he too important? My point is, folks, every day somebody gets popped. Every day in this warfare, somebody's getting hit. And every day we find somebody that needs resurrection, that needs healing. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I need prayer. I had my thumb smashed. And I came to church. Doc took care of it, gave me some medication. Told me, though, he said, you're going to need therapy on that thumb. It's not therapy. What is it? You're going to need that thumb worked on so that you're going to lose use of it. You've got nerve damage and it's smashed and you're going to have to go to a place where where they can work on your thumb, where you can get use back in it. And he put a big old bandage on it like that. So I came to church, you know, and I'm ministering at the end of the service, you know, we're praying for people, and I got this big old gauzy thumb, you know, up here, and I'm laying hands, we're praying for people and getting people healed and filled and fixed and all this stuff. But do you know nobody prayed for me? I mean, I'm the obvious one. And nobody prayed for me. The elders didn't pray for me. Nobody prayed for me. My point is, folks, we see it sometimes and we don't pray for people. Dismiss the service. Linda Wilkie walks up. And she said, nobody prayed for your thumb. And I said, I noticed that, Linda. She says, can I pray for it? Now, let me tell you a story. It had been just a couple of years earlier. She had gotten her thumb slammed in a car door. Very, very similar situation. She reached for my thumb. She grabbed my thumb. She started praying for my thumb. She prayed medical terms. She prayed the thumbnail would grow back correctly. She prayed down in there something. She started calling things stuff and calling things that were not as though they were. I mean, she just prayed for my thumb. And I said, wow. But that's not me. I said, wow. Do you know I have full use of my thumb? Thumbnail's back. Right. I never had whatever that it is they told me I was supposed to have. I've not lost any nerve damages. What's my point? Folks, we can pray for people.
We need it.
And somebody you need to get to pray. If you're going through it or if you're ever hit, get somebody that's been hit like you've been hit. Because
right. Wow.
They can pray for you like nobody else can. They'll call things out. They'll call things. They know what you're going through. They know how you're hurting. They know what they've got to speak to get you fixed. Pray for them. Love them. Reach out to them. Use them. The wounded can be recognized, can they not? Can you recognize? How do you recognize the wounded? They're bleeding? Got limbs and members blown away? Parts missing? Yeah. Can you heal them? Can you raise them from the dead? Can you resurrect a casualty? Yeah, you can. Now, I want to pray for you. Now, what's going to happen? We're going to sing a song. Lance is going to sing, and Mary Grace is going to dance. And it's called Wounded Soldier. But most of you, a while ago, raised your hand that you'd been wounded or hurt in this thing we call the church. In this wonderful organism. Somehow along the way, you've been wounded. Maybe wounded right now. Or at least maybe you know someone that is. And if this is you, or if you know someone that is, what I'm going to ask you to do is just stand right where you're at. And I want the people around you to pray for you as they're singing this song and as they're doing this dance. I want you to be healed. I want you to know there does not have to be personal Pearl Harbors. I want you to know it's one thing to be wounded, but it's another thing to have a Pearl Harbor. You don't have to lose your spirit. You don't have to be drained of your spirit in this time. If you're going through something, or you know someone that is, I want you to stand. And as they sing this song, and as they do this dance, I want you to be ministered to. Let me pray. Father, I pray now.